The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinus was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Merry Christmas. It is Christmas, and we listen to this familiar story, and this preacher convinces herself each and every year that she doesn't need to say much, because after all, everyone knows the story, right? Y'all know it, don't you? Don't you? Well, or do we? Just the other day, I was listening to the radio for once, trying to calm my nerves as I drove on very icy roads on my way to an appointment that had already been rescheduled twice because of the bad weather. So I felt like I had to go to this appointment, and as I was accelerating onto 694, and not going that fast, by the way, it's only about 20 miles an hour, and my car started to fishtail. I thought, oh goodness, this is much worse than I was expecting. The radio station was playing clips of Christmases past. The radio show host was explaining that the next clip we'd listen to was that of his wife telling the Christmas story of baby Jesus. The radio show host went on to explain that he himself had been to years of Sunday school and vacation Bible school and then even youth group, so he knew the story well. His wife, on the other hand, had not been raised going to church. She had just celebrated cultural Christmas and was only a borderline Christian, as it were. So her rendition of the Christmas story was interesting and hilarious. Hilarious. It was so far off and full of half-truths, which got the names of the main characters correct, but it was a confused and jumbled story that involved some sort of a music festival that they were attending in the city of Bethlehem. And it just, I won't even repeat all the details because I don't want to confuse you and have you like integrate that into the story yourself. I decided not to repeat any of it because I realized as I read the scripture for today, that is from Luke chapter 2, that there's a lot of the story that I, as a pastor, someone theologically trained who spent 4 years of her life dedicated to studying this in detail, sometimes in ancient Greek, right, Deacon Brad? We did that, right? And Hebrew. Sometimes I put elements in the story that don't belong there. See, a funny thing happens. We
inject different pieces of the gospel story and we mash it all together, kind of like one of those songs mashed up that they play when they put two songs together and they mash them together. You know this, right? And then you start to think that they do go together. Well, I wonder if we do know this story. After all, this time of year, this holiday season of Advent, when we hear the story again and again, many of us are kind of busy with other things. Has anyone been up to things like shopping for presents this year? Anyone? How about some cookie baking? Anyone? No? All right. Maybe you were making Jesus fish for the children's message, the Mills family. Or perhaps you were here in the sanctuary helping decorate, right? Buying poinsettias, driving here and there, avoiding the bad weather, battening down the hatches while it dipped into sub-zero temps. The point is, do we actually know the story? Even when we do make it to worship every Sunday in this season, sometimes it might be difficult to pay attention. We might tune out a little bit thinking, I already know all this. I'll just enjoy the music and write my Christmas shopping list. I say all of this without any judgment. Instead, I say it with a warm welcome, admitting to you that if you don't know the story in detail, join the club. Join the club. Many among us have listened to this mashup of the story. You know, the shepherds don't appear alongside the wise men, but each and every year in the Christmas program, they sure do all show up together, don't they? And then there is all of the bit about Jesus in the manger, no room at the inn. Let's dive into this particular story from Luke. As the shepherd said, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place. The first thing we need to acknowledge is that Bethlehem was a backwater. It was a little like a small town in the Midwest, so we should be very comfortable hearing this. There was no reason to go to Bethlehem unless you are from there. Anyone from a town like that? Couple of us, right, are from places that you don't go unless you're from there, right? So he's headed home, Joseph is, with his betrothed, Mary, who is pregnant. And in Luke's telling of the story, we hear the explanation that was given to Mary about what exactly happened. However, they completely gloss over, Luke glosses over any explanation to Joseph. We don't hear at all what Joseph is told, just that he stays with Mary, that he brings her with to be counted in his hometown. This is the first part of the story I want you to consider. Imagine how upset you would be if the leader of your nation forced everyone, including you, to go back to the head of the household's hometown. Imagine if that's how I asked you to celebrate Christmas this year. Everyone find the most senior member of your household and go with them to where they're from. Now, for some of us, this wouldn't be a big deal, right? I was born about 35 minutes away from here, and we have cars now, so I could just get in my car and drive there, and all is well. But what about those of you who come from places like California or Germany? How are you going to get back, right? How are you going to walk there? And all to be counted, I want you to imagine what that would be like in your own life. How would you get off of work for long enough in order to make the journey? The closest modern example I could think of was jury duty. And that only involves one of us, right? Not the whole family. Imagine bringing your entire family to jury duty with you for an entire week. Yikes. Yikes. A civic duty. Now add in the factor that you have to bring that entire family with you, and then you're going to have to stay there. Now, I want to point out that it's no surprise that there is no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph, because think if everyone else from your hometown also had to go back home at the same time. Where are you going to put all the people? Bethlehem at this point had been exporting people for years, and now all of those folks had to come back home. It's important for us to note that there being no room at the inn isn't like the Holiday Inn where you're paying for a room. It'd be more like a guest room. So think of like a free room in someone's house like you might find on Airbnb or at a youth hostel. They were full up, so there was no room for them. But we don't hear anything in Luke's gospel about there being animals around at the birth of Jesus. We do hear that the baby is placed in a manger, which is a food trough for animals, but we're not given any more details on it. Let's fast forward to the part about the shepherds. Little detail is provided about the particular shepherds in this chapter. Nonetheless, the text seems to assume that these shepherds are up to the task of receiving and responding to an important mission. They are given a commission to look for something that might not seem to be present. They are to search for significance in something that is a really mundane occurrence, the birth of a child. This is something that shepherds would not usually have been invited to, the birth of a child. Births are undoubtedly occasions for celebration, but they are clearly not signs that might otherwise be used as a marker of something of celestial significance. But this birth is different, we're told. Indeed, the angelic host that appears on the scene heralds the far-reaching impact of this baby's birth as an occasion for praising God. In short, the shepherds are tasked with looking for what might not be immediately evident, cosmic significance in the mundane. Out of the ordinary, God does something extraordinary. We, of course, tend to take this all for granted. Luke's story about this may at times feel very familiar to us, but when we look more closely, we realize that we take for granted all of the things that aren't actually there. This scene of Mary laboring and going door to door with Joseph seeking out lodging isn't present here in the actual text. That's something we added later with our imaginations. Or we might look at that whole thing about the Holiday Inn versus a guest room. Or what about the innkeeper? Did we see the innkeeper in this text? There was no innkeeper. That is something that we imagined into the story, or we saw in a show or a rendition of the story at one time and added it in. Furthermore, the text lacks any indication of how pregnant Mary was upon her arrival or even her mode of travel. There's no donkey mentioned in this text. From what we know of ancient customs surrounding pregnancy and childbirth, it is really unlikely that Mary and Joseph would have traveled with a very pregnant Mary. They knew better. Who here has been pregnant like 9 months along and has decided, let's take a cross-country road trip? Your doctor generally advises against such things, but even yourself, you'd be like, I don't know if this is a good idea. We don't give Mary and Joseph enough credit, but we like this idea, right? That she was with child and ready to give birth and they can't find a place to go. It adds excitement to the story. Beyond all of these details, we are reminded that no matter what the story is, the bigger truth is what is most important. Out of the ordinary, God does something extraordinary. Out of very meager beginnings, God raises up God's only Son. It's a quiet entrance into a big story, the greatest story of all time. So of course we use our imaginations. Of course we add to the story. Of course we wonder and we add and we think and we pray. It is interesting to consider all of these details, but we realize it's not the point. It's not important that we get the story completely right. After all, there are three different stories that we meld together into one, that mashup, as it were. Perhaps our task as modern Christians is to look around us for what is missing in the story. Now, missing in the story of Jesus isn't nearly as important as who is missing in our own lives. Do we look around to others and make sure that we are welcoming with open arms the way Jesus would? Do we look around here at a Christmas Eve service and wonder about who couldn't make it here because of the icy roads? We wave to the people at home who are watching because of those icy roads and sending our blessings to each and every one of you. Jesus' birth is good news, not just for us here in this sanctuary, not just us here in this state or in this nation. What the Jesus story on Christmas tells us is God's good news. The love of Jesus Christ is for all people. It's not just for a few privileged recipients of an elite message that you have to speak a certain language in order to understand or embrace. God's love is about reaching out to those who are marginalized, oppressed, forgotten, the least, the lost, and the lonely. And reaching out to those with open arms and inviting all people in. You see, Christmas is about perspective. The details do not matter as much as the overall message. God sent Jesus to save humanity, and we are sent to share this good news, using words when necessary. Alleluia and amen.